All right, let's call this meeting of the House Fisheries Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 5:07 p.m. on Tuesday, March 24, 2011. Present today are Representatives Osterman, Representative Kawasaki, Representative Pruitt, Vice Chair Representative Johnson, and myself, Representative Thompson. On today's agenda, under bills previously heard, the committee will continue its consideration of House Bill 181, an act requiring the Department of Fish and Game annually to collect confidential information related to days worked by commercial fishing crew members and to compile statistical data. The committee last heard House Bill 181 at its March 15th meeting, but held it over so it could be refined a bit before being removed or being moved on to its next committee. The changes desired have been incorporated into a committee substitute, and if anyone would like, please move, I ask for somebody to please move the work draft of CS27-LS0292/E.
Mr. Chairman, I would move CS for House Bill number 181, designated 27-LS0292/E, Kane, dated 3/22/11.
Is there any objection? Seeing no objections, we will address the committee substitute. Okay, he's now before us, Ms. Harrington. I guess you're going to, staff to the sponsor, Representative Osterman, is here to walk us through the changes. Ms. Harrington, if you'll please place yourself on the record, the committee would like to hear about the CS.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Osterman.
Everybody make sure that everybody's got a copy
of the
kind of the sectional description of the changes.
Yes. Dated memorandum dated March 24th, 2011.
Correct.
Right. All right. Got that, everybody? All right. Go right ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Erin Harrington. I'm staff to Representative Osterman. And you should have before you a memorandum dated March 24th, 2011 that addresses changes to House Bill 181 from version B to the work draft version E that you have before you for your consideration. And if it pleases the chair, I would just quickly walk you through the changes that are addressed in this work draft. The changes came from the conversation in the committee and also in consultation with industry members and representatives of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission just over the course of the bill being out in the public eye and circulating over the last few weeks. And I think we discussed a number of the objectives behind them at the meeting, the previous meeting on the bill. So the first change is that the Section 1 in Version B was deleted. Section 1 directed ADF&G to distribute crew member activity forms at the time that they purchase their licenses, but in further conversation with them, it seems that it's going to make more sense for them to actually mail this piece of paper to crew members at the end of the season when they would actually be filling it out, and so it didn't seem necessary to specify that they would distribute it with the license when it was just likely to get lost. Second change is throughout the bill, it was drawn to our attention that people who fish at set net sites actually aren't necessarily in every case operating from a vessel. So the previous language had talked about people's fishing activity and obligation to a vessel. Now throughout the bill it refers to a vessel or a set net site. And to be clear, set net sites, the set netting is a form of commercial salmon fishing where people's nets are anchored at one end to a beach and then the other end extending into the water and are either picked from skiffs or in some cases, particularly in Bristol Bay and Cook Inlet, at low tide when the net comes out of the water, people are able to access it actually on foot. So it seemed necessary to clarify that it wasn't just vessel-based operations. Then on now the rest of the changes are going to refer to the work draft itself, which is version E. On page 1, line 14 to page 2, line 6, some changes were made on what would specifically be required to be on the forms that are submitted to the department. With some lengthy conversation with the department and then the Commercial Fishery Entry Commission, which has the current harvest and value data and database, we were trying to find out what what fields they would actually need to match in order to be able to link this new database that's being created about crew member activity with the existing database. And I am not a database expert, although I did learn a lot about how they attempt to do these things successfully. And what we tried to do was, in a few spots, specify information that would absolutely be known to be necessary. But then on line 6 on page 2, this language was in the previous version as well. We say that the department can also request other information that it finds necessary, and the objective being to be able to link these successfully without them having to come back to the legislature for a statutory fix because we asked them to fill out, you know, provide the wrong piece of information. On line 9 on page 2, it has changed the reporting date from in March to now April 15th, and the reason is that we envision that a number of crew members may choose to fill out their forms at the time when they're doing their federal tax returns because they'd have that information before them and it would be a simple time to do it, and it seemed wise to just line it up with the federal return date. Some people do their taxes on the 14th of April. On page 2, line 25, the United States Department of Labor was, back up, Mr. Chairman. On page 2, lines 13 and 14, we heard a concern expressed that only vessel operators would be getting the chance to review the crew member data. And in some cases, people have hired skippers running their operations who may not be an owner or a real stakeholder in the business over the long sense. And so we have added language so that vessel or set net site owners, in addition to a person who might have been operating the vessel, would have the opportunity to review the data. And that was raised by one of Representative Osterman's constituents, and was certainly an oversight in the early drafting. It's a very good point that he raises. So then moving down to page 2, line 25, we inserted the United States Department of Labor as an additional federal agency with which the department could share the data. And the reason for adding them specifically is the United States Department of Labor administers the Trade Adjustment Assistance Program. And the Trade Adjustment Assistance Program has been used to compensate fishermen when trade conditions have impacted the value of their harvest. And then the final change, Mr. Chairman, is on page 3, line 11, and that pulls the sunset date back by 1 year, 1 year closer to today. And the objective there just being that we understand that this is a program that's going to be actively developed and that has certain objectives, but we'd like to see whether or not those objectives are going to be achieved. And so this gives the opportunity for the legislature to have a look at this just a little bit sooner in the spirit of having a good program. But this date does allow, in consultation with the department, it does allow them to have what's likely to be at least 3 full years of data and program operation to look at. And with that, Mr. Chairman, those are the changes that are before you in version E.
Well, thank you, Ms. Harrington. Is there any questions to the sponsor or staff? Wow, seeing none. Expecting that this CS was going to come in, I noted in the meeting notification that the public testimony would be open today, and so we do have some people on the phone. Only if needed, we have Mark Vinsel, United Fisherman, who's on the line, and he is he signed in. If we have any questions, he'll be glad to answer them. And also, Jaron Bruce, Assistant Director, Division of Commercial Fishing, is present to answer questions if anybody would like to bring them up to answer questions. Excellent. Representative Kawasaki.
Thanks. This would be for the department, I guess. I have an amendment, and I plan on at least introducing it just for the purpose of discussion and then asking a question. But the question is how this might be enforced, because the way it looks like it's set up right now, it looks like it's a voluntary program.
Go ahead and put yourself on the record and state your affiliation, and if you can answer that question, we'd appreciate it.
Yes, sir. My name is Jaron Bruce. I'm an assistant director with the Division of Commercial Fisheries. And through the chair, Representative Kawasaki, It is, like most of our reporting systems, we do depend on the reporting individuals to supply the information. As you know, we would depend on the Department of Public Safety to do the enforcement, and their resources are limited, like everybody's resources are limited, and they don't have a lot of resources to put towards enforcing reporting and record-keeping issues. They like to reserve their resources to issues that actually involve protection of the resource, like enforcing closed waters and closed seasons and bag limits and things like that. So just as a practical matter, in thinking about the actual enforceability of it, we didn't put anything in there because we just didn't think it would really be practical and effective to come up with an enforcement mechanism. I mean, you have identified an issue that is missing from the bill, but I'm not sure there's a really practical way to remedy it.
Follow-up question, Representative Kawasaki.
One of the ways that it's dealt with, like for the Chitina dipnet fishery, when we go down there, is if you don't, it says on the card, I don't know if it's actually the law or not, but it says on the card, if you don't return your permit by a certain date and time, that you won't be allowed to fish for 10 years or something like that, I can't remember. But that sort of threat, at least, always motivates me, at least, to make sure that it gets in there definitely before the 31st, or go to the department and say, I've lost my card, I lose it all the time, but can I get this done, because I don't want to lose out next year or the year after that. Is that an appropriate mechanism to get folks to comply with the data that we'd like to receive?
Through the chair, Representative Kawasaki. That's one thing that one avenue that was considered and is a possibility. But then again, the way commercial crew member licenses are sold, they're sold through vendors throughout the whole state. In some places, they're sold by a store or a small outfitter that may only sell a handful. And so they're not going to know when somebody goes to buy that license that the individual who wants to purchase it didn't submit their crew activity form the year before, so they'll be issued the license. And so that was kind of the stumbling block on that. We depend on these vendors, and it provides a great service to commercial fishing vessel operators, set net operators, and to crew members, because it enables people to get licensed very much on the spot all over the state in remote areas where commercial fisheries are going on. But they're offline, so to speak. They're not tied into the database. And there's going to be a lag between when we know that Joe Blow bought a license and Joe Blow didn't turn in his activity form the year before. So that's a complication, you know, that you just need to be aware of, I guess. And when we worked on this in the stakeholder committees and stuff, and in discussions with the representative's office, those were the kind of reasons that caused us not to include it.
Actually, Mr. Chairman,
I think I
probably have to move the amendment and then discuss, because we were talking about the amendment. I think I should move the amendment and then have somebody object to it first. So I'll move the amendment.
I'll object.
Yeah. Amendment E1?
It's amendment 27LS.
So we can have discussion on it.
29E.1. Thanks. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Could you go ahead and explain some of this?
Sure. Yeah, I guess the purpose of the amendment, Mr. Chairman, is to the first part of the amendment, Mr. Chairman, is dealing with who the reporting comes from, and that's a change that I thought was logical, that rather than having each individual crew member have to report, that it would come from the vessel operator or the owner. I think that goes to the problem of that was solved in the E version, dealing with just having the operators and the owners see the report before it actually goes back to the fish and game. The second part of it deals specifically with some sort of a penalty if the reporting is not done. And I think that really when it comes down to it, we want to make sure that we've got the best available data. And I don't know if voluntary data ends up becoming the best data. And I think we've sort of addressed that issue. But I think it's a good policy call that we have the discussion.
Representative Osterman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I appreciate the intent of the amendment, and I think that
Mr. Bruce kind of covered the reasons that we don't have it in there right now. But I think I want to delve into a little bit more into what we anticipate out of this legislation, the total legislation, and that is within 3 years to come back to this legislature with justifying, showing the benefit of having this crew data. And there are a number of different ways of collecting data and enforcing it, if you want to. And one of the things would be having a card that the crew member, every time he made a delivery, he swiped it, and then it was electronically transmitted. That would be the ideal situation, that if we could ever get to that point, rather than having a lag for a year of them making out the forms, and then the input, the cost of inputting all the information in. We didn't bring that forward to you because of the cost of creating a program like that. But if we can, if this program actually works and is justifiable and it shows the benefit of having this information, I think within 3 years we could come back probably with that type of a suggested program that might work. But that's kind of the thing we'd like to see eventually with this program. National Marine Fisheries Service has a swipe card program going right now on their federal fisheries. So whenever a skipper makes a delivery, he swipes his card. The crew members don't swipe a card. And so we looked at that for a little bit, and Swansea took a hard look at it and found out some inherent problems within their current system and how you'd have to change the system.
Too loud.
She's having to turn it down. How you would change the system there to make it work like they would on the federal system, and they're a long ways away from that themselves. So while I appreciate the idea, and I'd like to see the verifiable information myself, but it's a matter, I think, of creating the program now, getting it started, taking a look at it over the next 3 years, and come back with a good program.
Representative Kawasaki.
And just the second part of the amendment dealt specifically with some sort of a stick, I guess, if the department, I guess this would be addressed to the department and then a policy call for the committee to decide. I don't know if I believe in voluntary data. I mean, we just sent out a newsletter inside District 9 in Fairbanks to sort of solicit a response, and we got 300 pieces back from folks, but they're probably folks that had something to say, had an opinion one way or the other, but it doesn't represent the true nature, I think, of the district. So I don't know if there needs to be some other sort of stick approach, some way to compel this to happen so that the data that we get can be trustworthy and verifiable. So I guess does the department object to having some sort of leverage, whether it be, I don't know if it's a fine, what I've written in here is a fine, but whether it's a bad mark against you, or I don't know what it should be, but something to say that this is data we really need, it's valuable, this is what it's for, and we hope that you'll do it. If the department...
To the chair, Representative Kawasaki, well, I certainly understand your concern, and we talked about that quite a bit, but I think it's important to realize that this is a pilot program first, and secondly, we anticipate a great deal of outreach and partnership with the people in the industry who support this program and want to see this information collected. So there's going to be quite a bit of education and information sharing going on, and persuasion to try to get people to understand why this is important and why they should do it. And we're taking every means we can to make this as simple for folks as possible. We're envisioning a one-page, one-side sheet of paper in which they supply maybe 6 or 7 pieces of information and submit it in a return address, postage paid envelope. So I guess my recommendation would be that let's see how that works. And it is a pilot program. That's one of the key things that we are trying to determine, and that the consultant identified as a major issue with this program, is what is the level of compliance you're going to get, what is the quality of the data that you're going to get, and until you move to a more expensive, more sophisticated system like Representative Osterman described, you really need to ground truth those issues. And the way we're thinking of doing it is with outreach, education and information, and partnership building. But certainly, you raise an important issue. How do you get people to participate? And I guess our strategy is a little bit different.
I would think over the three-year period, by the time it comes back, we'll have a pretty good idea of how much compliance we are getting in the returns and see if it does need later on some kind of a stick to make it stick. Representative Osterman.
And I appreciate this conversation because this is a discussion point that we've had several yes. different times going through the process. Part of what the department is doing also, and they're creating a database warehouse, so to speak. It's something that they're still in the process of creating. And hopefully that when that's created, this type of information could go into it. At some point in time, you may get to a point where every one of the individual vendors out there that sell these licenses would be able to tie to that database. Currently, that's not available. And so getting back to what Mr. Bruce said, you know, how do you enforce something like this when they've got so many vendors all across the state? Your dipnet permit, my subsistence permit that I get from Fish and Game, and I only can get it from Fish and Game. They won't give me another one if I don't submit my information how many fish I took. But it's because it's only one stop.
Representative Vice Chair Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Although you can get dipnetting permits at Walmart.
I don't get a dipnetting permit.
Yeah, I mean, so they have the same problem. You can get a dipnetting permit at probably 20 locations, right. Even in Fairbanks. So they have that problem too, but I think it's the threat more, because if they do catch you, you know, they run a sample. Because I've gotten a letter once that, you know, we didn't get your permit back, and if you don't send it, then I filled out a letter saying I lost it, but this is what I did, and so I was eligible. So they do have a way of doing it, but I don't know exactly how that works. So they are capable, but I don't think we want to burden this. Yeah. They've had a lot of years. I don't know how many years, 30 years of working in that fishery. I don't think we want to try to institute something with that kind of history in a three-year program. So it is possible, but I don't think we want to go quite there right now. So, but it is the threat of losing your ability that carries more weight than anything else.
I've been threatened.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In light of the discussion, I appreciate the thorough discussion. From members. I'll withdraw amendment number one.
Okay, with amendment number one has been withdrawn. All right. Further questions of the department before we move on to more public testimony? Seeing none, thank you very much. All right, under public testimony, we do have a couple people online, off net. We have Andy Varner from the Southwest Alaska Municipal Council. Andy, are you on phone?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Yes, if you place your name on the record and give us your information, we'll be glad to hear your testimony.
Okay, will do. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Andy Varner, and I'm the Executive Director of the Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference, or SWAMC. We're a regional development organization for Bristol Bay, Kodiak, and the Aleutian Pribilof Islands. So we're one of the 12 arters in the state. I want to thank the representative, first of all, Representative Osterman, and his staff for working hard on this issue. It's one that our organization and our membership has been tracking for a number of years. So today I'm calling in to support HB 181 to establish the crew data collection program. This bill, we think, is an important step towards addressing the problem. Which is that we don't know much about Alaska's largest workforce.
You're getting a little far away from the phone there.
Sorry about that. Is that better?
Yes, that's better. Thank you.
Okay. So like I said, for a number of years, SWAMC has been a key advocate for better crew data collection. We strive to establish this program since 2004 when we had an annual membership meeting. And the membership is in favor of passing a resolution to address this problem. And over the years, we've coordinated a number of conversations with our members, and fishermen, associations, businesses, other organizations. We conducted or commissioned a study through Northern Economics to study this problem. They came back with a number of recommendations, and Jaron Bruce was there. He was key and very integral throughout all that process and with the department. And so they worked with some of those recommendations and came up with their own solutions as well just a couple of years ago, and that's kind of the template we're working off today. In the past year or so, though, we're very glad that Representative Osterman is kind of taking the torch and reignited this issue, and we've certainly put forward a great deal of effort and trying to be a part of this process. We're parties to come together to shape the bill that you see today. I think Representative Osterman did a good job of addressing why this program has been 7 years in the making. We're trying to create this system. We're trying to create a perfect system, but as we've, I guess, come to discover through talking with numerous fishermen in different groups, that a perfect system, while it may exist, it is a bit costly, and we're glad to see that what they're attempting today can be a good start to create this perfect system in the future as we integrate more technology, and I think that's the direction we'd love to see it go. What we'd like to see is pretty simple, though. That's to attach a crew member to a permit or a boat allow for the necessary aggregation of labor stats, and which we can use to define this commercial fishing workforce. I think in previous testimony, we provided a letter that outlines the benefits to various stakeholders, mainly for federal, state, local governments, so everyone can have a more complete information when they make important management and regulation decisions, which affect fishermen and communities. So we're glad to see HB 181 define the framework to collect crew member data in a minimally invasive manner. And it addresses the concerns that we've heard throughout the years, and it meets the requirements that were made in this process. So again, we support this bill. We're glad to see that it's kind of outlined for a few years. It will sunset. We can address this and see how it can be improved. And we urge you to support the bill, and thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Varner, for your testimony. Questions from the committee? Seeing that, Mr. Varner, thank you very much. Next online, we have Sean Dochterman. Sean, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Please place your name on the record and your affiliation, and we'd love to hear your testimony.
You bet. Good evening, Special Ops Fish Committee. My name is Sean Dochterman. I'm the Executive Director of the Crewmen's Association based in Kodiak. With regards to HB 181, we sure appreciate that Alan's put this bill up, but it needs some great modifications to adhere to what the project actually was intended in the first place. I'm going to go down and when we started this process in 120-2009 as a committee, on the third part of the, there's a 12 different items that they listed here. The third one is data collected on fishing activities will be the best and most accurate possible. And then it goes on to number 10, it says, or 9, it says take advantage of technology. Number 10 is maximize electronic reporting. And number 11 is crew member participation database should be capable of linking to existing databases at ADF&G, National Marine Fisheries, and CFEC. The way I see this bill is written, it puts the onus on the crew, and it doesn't utilize all of these items that ADF&G was supposed to deal with in the first place. Since I attended the two committee meetings about this project, let me tell you just a little bit more. We actually put a proposal forward, and I'm sorry that I have not got this information to you. I've had some family issues, and I have other fisheries issues that stand to be more important at this moment. But we put a proposal forward for the swipe card, as you're hearing about. When the feasibility study and recommendation was done by Wasserman and Associates for Fish and Game, they did not include the swipe card in the feasibility study, which we were flabbergasted when we showed up last January to see that it wasn't there. And while we were working through the second committee meeting, we'd come to a hybrid where we'd like to see that used with some type of data gathering from a skipper in state fisheries that don't use e-landings. At the present time, I believe almost all state fisheries that aren't minute and salmon are using an e-landing system after talking with some of the biologists at Fish and Game and Kodiak. So I think don't think we're going to bridge the gap in 3 years to gather the best data. So instead of trying to push this thing forward and use it as a pilot program, why don't we try to get a program that's going to work and have the least onus on this, on the crew members who I would say are not going to help really complete the data that we need. And so let's look at going back to where we ended at the crew, at the last crew project meeting, and start from there to help this thing further. We don't want to put onus on anybody, but as you know, we use swipe cards every day. I mean, to buy a gift card, or to get in, check into a hotel. It's not that difficult to add a data field. And I think this has kind of got skunked by UFA. They, when they stepped in and said that they didn't agree with this, the conversation stopped. And that's not the way things work. They don't work. They don't represent crew members that I know of at this point. They represent different organizations. A lot of them are from Seattle also. They're not state-based. So let's look at this from a crew member's point of view, trying to gather data, the best data, and go from there. So I'll leave you with that, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dotterman. Questions from the council or from the committee members? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony. Is anybody else online? No? We'll go to the audience here present. Does anybody wish to come forward and testify?
Are you sure?
I'm not sure, but I was questioning myself.
Go ahead and put your name and affiliation on the record, and we'll hear what you have to say in reply to that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jerry McKeon. I represent United Fishermen of Alaska. We do have a crew member category. We do have crew members for that little part. But for salmon, CFEC is working on the swipe card right now. They've been working on it for 3 years. And there's going to be another experiment in Cordova this year with trying to see how that works. And what we're trying to attempt with that, and we haven't got there yet with salmon, is to get real-time data. As soon as I deliver, then I get a ticket, it'd be swiped, and the information to go directly to Fish and Game, so we can get quicker information about openers and what the run's doing and that kind of stuff. But it's still in the process. And then also, when you go get your crew license, you can go down to AC or to the liquor store. They don't have that right now. And like Representative Osterman was talking about, this is a pilot program. It's not perfect, but we got to start somewhere, and I think this is a very good start to get us started on the program without putting a whole big fiscal note on this thing and figuring it out, and let the state CFEC and the others figure out the swipe card that's coming around, and then maybe by that time there'll be enough information that we can get the swipe card where it'd be real simple. They just go like this and it's done, and then maybe issue these little things to the all these places that do sell licenses. But we're not near there right now, so I think this bill is a good start to start gathering the information without a whole lot of problems, and then we can figure out everything else that we need to in 3 years. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Questions? Seeing that, thank you very much for your testimony.
One other little point, Mr. Chairman. I wish I was powerful enough to stop a meeting all the time, but I'm not. But, you know, some meetings I'd like to be able to come in here and stop, but I don't have that kind of power.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Anybody else wishing to testify? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Are there any further discussion among the committee members? Representative Osterman, do you want to make a closing comment on your bill?
Yeah, well, first off, in reference to Mr. Dotterman and and other conversations we've had in reference to a swipe card, I think that the technology is there to do something like that. It's just a matter of cost. It's a matter of tying it all together and make it happen, and it's a database. And you can go to a hotel, and they'll run it through their machine, and they'll give you even a paperback with a
with plastic coating on it that they tear out of a sheet that they ran through, and they can, and you can use that to go through the hotel. We know it can be done. It's just a matter of getting the technology. And when you got 200,000 crew members coming to Alaska and getting licensed every year, it's a little bit of a different scale than it is to go to a hotel where there's, you know, 200 people. And so the cost of putting something like that together, I think Mr. McKeown is exactly right. If CFEC can get the actual database card swipe card set up for the deliveries of the fish to the boat, and then it's just, and Fish and Game can end up working on their database warehouse type thing that they're talking about, and all the stuff will eventually come together. But this gives us to start on and actually looking at how you pull that crew member's information into it on the overall scale. With that, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate the vote.
Further discussion of the committee? Chair would like to entertain a motion, then.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move CS for House Bill number 181, Fisheries, out of committee with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Without objection, then the committee substitute for House Bill 181 is moved from committee. And please, everybody, stick around and make sure we get it signed. This concludes business for this evening. As noted to members, next Tuesday, March 29th, pending referral of the committee, will have its final confirmation hearings, the governor's remaining three recommendations to the Board of Fish, but there will be no meeting Thursday, March 31st, so our friends at the Economic Development, Trade, and Tourism can have our space. Also, at our next meeting will be our last meeting for the session. I'd like to invite the members to attend the Fish Caucus Tuesday at noon. The subject will be the graying of the fleet. And attendees will receive a presentation on the changing demographics in Alaska's commercial fish industry. The time is now 5:42 p.m., and we are adjourned.